Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Rossi Live.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. And today is a mother and son together. That my mother's coming on the show. There would be no Richard Rossi Live had she not produced me, and I would not be able to produce the show. My mother has written a wonderful book. It's selling well on Amazon. It's called Soldier Songs, Honoring and Helping Military Families. It's some poetry, and like Grandma Moses and her paintings, my mother started writing songs, story songs about soldiers later in life, inspired by soldiers returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And you can get the book, go to Amazon, and on Amazon just search Dorothy Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, Soldier Songs, and you'll find it right there, and it'll support a good cause of the Wounded Warriors, and it's very inexpensive. It's a little over $5. What is it? Let me see on Amazon here. It's $5.39. What a deal, what a deal. So I will be back with my mother in about 20 seconds on Richard Rossi Live. Richard Rossi Live, and thank you to our illustrious Laker fan there. Welcome to the show, coast to coast, and also our fans in Europe. I'd like you to meet my mother, and in the words of the old Mills Brothers song, "One bright and shining light that taught me wrong from right, I found in my mother's eyes." Is my mother, Dorothy Rossi, on the line from 3,000 miles away in Pittsburgh? Hello, Mom?
Yes, I'm here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, your hometown.
Well, you're the executive producer of the show, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, yes. You reminded me of that 2 years after you left Pittsburgh. You wrote a beautiful letter. If you have enough nerve, I'll read it to you.
Oh, I'm a little worried and embarrassed because I write letters home when I'm in an emotional state, you know, when I'm in that, you know, just pussified, emotional, missing home state. So I'm. This could be embarrassing. I'm a little nervous here. Is it embarrassing?
Nothing profane in it, so you don't have to worry about that.
Nothing profane. Okay, go ahead. I do have a mute
Ready?
Button. If you embarrass me too bad, I can mute you, Mom.
Okay. You can shut me off. Okay. December 16th, 1998. 2 years almost to the day you left Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you wrote, "Dear Mom and Dad, thank you for encouraging my creativity as a child, giving birth to me and later begetting my creativity by taking me to Saturday art classes, puppet shows, and making puppets, getting me magic tricks. Thank you for taking me to Channel 4 to be on TV at age 9. And Dad for teaching me the guitar, complimenting my song Somewhere Over the Rainbow at age 7, believing I should have won instead of the drummer, and taking me to see Mr. Rogers' set, supporting my passion to create as a child, set a foundation for me to nurture and create and be an actor. I am back to my early life, following my artistic leaning, doing what I wanted to do as a child. Success as an actor is rooted in childlike belief, supporting my creative interests in magic, music, art from early on was essential. Love, Richard."
Wow, that's a nice letter, and I'm not embarrassed. That's a very nice letter. I'm so glad you saved that, because I didn't remember what was in that letter.
Yes, it was important to us, and I read it to your dad, and we thought, well, we did something right, you know.
Well, I'm glad it made you and Dad feel well. I remember writing a letter to him as well a couple years later, and I wondered if he ever read it, and then I found out he ended up keeping it in his wallet and rereading it, so that made me feel really good. Yeah, it mentions when I was 9 and we went to WTAE. I remember that, the Paul Shannon Adventure Show back in Pittsburgh. He would show cartoons and Three Stooges, and I wanted to help the kids with muscular dystrophy when I was 9, and thanks to you and Uncle Wayne was a clown, and everybody helped out from the in-laws and the outlaws, and we had a little backyard carnival, and Paul Shannon interviewed me about it on Adventure Time, which a kid in Pittsburgh, once I was on Adventure Time, kids were like, you're famous, you were on Adventure Time, and Tony and Joe also went along and were there. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember, and you all had little red vests on. All three of you had a red vest, and you all looked so cute on TV. But the carnival was a pretty good success, and because of the carnival, you got to get on TV. But I remember being the gypsy fortune teller at that carnival.
Yeah, you were using your gifts from the old country to tell the future.
Yes.
And it makes me think of a biblical story about the sower and the seed. You know, a lot of children have creative instincts like myself, but it's so important the parents water the seed, nurture the seed, not choke it out or shame the child and say, hey, get a real job. You're not going to make any money as a artist or whatever. But thankfully, you drove me to the art classes. I remember me and some boy, there was one, I think two of us that got picked to study at Joseph Fitzpatrick's art class at the Carnegie when we were kids because the sister liked our drawings. Me and I think my friend Eric Ritter also was in that class who drew very well. And you drove me down there on Saturdays, I remember, to take the lessons. And you had taken lessons with him when you were a kid in
yes,
Pittsburgh. That's how long he'd been around.
Artist. He inspired me. I had 3 years with Mr. Fitzpatrick, and I was very thrilled when you had him, too. So he was a young man when I went there, but I guess he was more mature by the time you got there. But anyway, I wanted to talk, too, about this book, and I wanted to tell you, too, there was a memorial just this past Sunday dedicated in Washington, D.C., and the name of it is the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial, and it's to honor veterans living and dead for the last two centuries of Americans who served, and the family has been in the military from the Civil War on down, the Civil War, First World War, Second World War, and the Korean War. Your dad was in the Korean War. So it's a very poignant thing for these veterans because they return home. They're forever changed by this war, and not only the veterans, but it involves the mothers, the wives, the children of these veterans, sometimes that are killed. But 50,000 of them have been wounded between Iraq and Afghanistan, so that's about a decade or so. And I felt very strongly about this. One morning, how it happened was one morning I was praying, and I said, God, you know, I'm getting pretty old. I'm going on 77. I says, is there anything else I can do for you? Because I was always active in the church, but at this point, you kind of slow down. So I forgot about that, and I started writing these soldier songs. I felt impressed every time I saw a flag-draped coffin in the newspaper. I had a feeling that I need to tell people about this. So this is how the book began, anyway. But I felt the stories, and I felt each story in the book could apply to thousands of soldiers, thousands of mothers, wives, all of them affected by these wars. But I think we owe them all a debt.
Well, our family, like probably most families, were affected. You mentioned Dad being in the Korean War. And it affected him. I remember him having nightmares and reliving some really traumatic things. And it affected, he had that affected his hearing, his even mental health. I mean, probably, I don't know if they said it back then, but I would think they probably would have said that Dad had PTSD from seeing his friend. His friend was decapitated there right in front of him. I mean, I know that's gory, and I hate to be so indelicate on the air, but would you say that he may have had PTSD from the Korean War?
Yes, I think he did, but at that time, that was not a term that we knew. We didn't know. We just felt they felt bad about the war. But he was on an aircraft carrier, the Coral Sea, and the planes would come in, and your dad was in the Navy, and the planes would come onto the aircraft carrier, and they'd kind of guide them into place. Well, one of the sailors was guiding this plane, was getting a little too close, and it was decapitated by the propeller. So your father witnessed that, and that plus the bomb or something went off near him, and he was thrown, and he lost his hearing for about a month. His hearing did come back in one ear, so he had the hearing aids supplied by the Veterans Administration. Of course, he only wore one. One was useless. But there's a lot of stories, and that was just one. He came back safely and so on. But another story was my brother, your Uncle Ray. He was in World War II, and he was a sergeant. He was in Japan. But when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, he was on a ship in the Sea of Japan going to be attacking Japan. We were at war with them when Truman dropped the bombs. And at that point, they went in, and your uncle was on grave detail. They had to bury bodies and parts of bodies, and they had to bury all them. And I think with all the radiation, it affected him and possibly causing his cancer that he passed away from. But there's many, many war stories, and they affect me, and I think about that, and I think the trigger was possibly when I visited your dad's grave at the National Cemetery of the Alleghenies. A couple graves down, there was a grave of a young man, 32 years old, killed in Iraq. And it was maybe a trigger in my brain that stuck, and I remembered, and I said a quick prayer for the family of that soldier, whoever he was, and we left. But whether that was a trigger in my brain, I don't know. But I do feel badly for all these soldiers, and I think the Veterans Administration has to do better. I know the top brass of the veterans here in Pittsburgh has been fired, and there's three other executives of the VA administration that have gotten the axe. So maybe something will turn out much better for them.
Yeah, I sure hope so. They sure deserve it. And if you're listening to Richard Rossi Live, I'm on with my mother, Dorothy Rossi. She's written a book to help wounded warriors. Go to Amazon and order Soldier Songs. Dorothy Rossi, just search Soldier Songs. Dorothy Rossi. I want to invite you all to send in any questions you'd like. You can either call in on the issue of veterans at 347-637-2379. We're opening phone lines, 347-637-2379. There's a chat room on the show, too. That hasn't been utilized as much, but it's new, and you're welcome to chat or send me an email with your question to Richard Rossi, actor, @yahoo.com, and we'll be back in just one moment for a brief break for program identification.
I know what you're thinking. Since the phone lines are all busy, Should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
We're back on Richard Rossi Live. Thank you for tuning in. And my mother and I were talking about some of the people affected in our own family. My dad was in the Korean War, saw his friend decapitated, and it affected him psychologically, physically. He had an injury to his hearing. My Uncle Ray, my mother's brother, who was my godfather when my dad was sick, came in and helped take care of us. He had a near-death experience where he was supposed to get on a plane, and he stopped for a beer and then missed the plane and thought he was in trouble when he got called in by his superiors in World War II. But he found out he wasn't in trouble for getting the beer and missing the plane. They gave him some horrific news, didn't they, Mom?
Yes, he got R&R in someplace in Japan, high in the mountains where he could see the volcanoes, and he could see a great view, but he had to rest because the plane that he missed, he wanted a friend of his to go with him to have a quick beer. He said, these planes are always late. So the friend declined, and so he thought he'll go have a quick beer and then he'll get the plane. But what happened was the plane was early, and he missed the plane. But all the people on the plane, all the soldiers, were killed. The plane was downed, and they were all gone, all his friends in his whole regiment or whatever they call that group. But he thought he would be getting a court-martial. Instead, they sent him to 2 weeks for R&R to recuperate. So that was one of his experiences. And
so the beer saved his life.
Yes, well, my father always kidded. My brother didn't want to talk about the war, but my dad would always say, a beer saved your brother's life. You know, if anybody said that beer is a bad thing, he'd say, have a beer. It might save your life. But it
wow.
was it was an experience, and he came back from the war different. My mother said they sent a different one back. But back
well,
then,
yeah,
they
he
didn't
went there.
Know PTSD. They didn't know
yeah,
about
I mean,
that.
He had to gather up the guys in the body bags, and, you know, he was just a sweet young Pittsburgh guy, and then he had to deal with cleaning up bodies after bodies.
Yeah, they had to bury them. They had to bury them all in mass graves. There were so many killed by the bombs. So that
yeah, my mother's book
traumatic.
Is available. For those of you listening, if you want to help veterans, my mother's book is available now on Amazon, Dorothy Rossi Soldier Songs. And, you know, we still have family over there. I know my cousin, your niece, Chrissy's son, and he's still over in Afghanistan, right?
He's leaving. He's going back to Colorado. So he's very mm-hmm. happy. He said it was an experience, but he's glad to leave there, and he's going to be glad to get back to Colorado.
Yeah, I'm glad he's back safe and sound. It's interesting because in your book here of different story songs, lyrics, you know, it talks about a lot of people, you know, why did God take this person? Why did this person die in the war? And then one of the songs says something very poignant here where it says maybe it wasn't God, you know, causing all these wars. Maybe it was men's selfishness and men's sin, and it's like a game where sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Which one was that? Do you remember?
Yes, it was the...
I have her books here, too. But that one really struck me because that's what I was thinking is, you know, it says in the Bible that wars come from the selfishness and the flesh of... Oh, here I found it. It's Where's Daddy?
I thought it was.
Children, you know, we don't understand. Are we so dense? Children miss their daddy. It makes no sense. Who knows? Is this God's plan? Why did he take this special man? Perhaps as we pray and pause, it may be God was not the cause. It is men on both sides who want to fight whenever they think they are right. Men have a free will to do as they choose. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. I think that really sums it up is... humans, it just, you know, it's kind of a shame as humans that we keep doing this over and over again. And people like my dad, my Uncle Ray, your brother, your late husband. So many people are the wounded warriors, and now this, so many young guys coming back. So that's a big accomplishment. Take a bow, Mom, to get this book finished. That's really something to pat yourself on the back and endorse yourself for, to get this, to do this.
Well, I'm doing it for these young men, and they haven't had a chance to live life. Some of them, I've read one was 20 years old and was killed. I think they didn't even get a chance. They didn't even experience life. So I felt strongly about them, and I wanted to show the different angles of these, this war, not only the soldiers, but the mother, the story about the mother who cries and cries for her son. And I wanted to end each song with a positive note, no matter what, that how bad it is, you turn to the Lord. And I tried to give an encouragement to each one, like the mother. And then the one where the children don't understand where their daddy, why he doesn't come home, and the mother has to tell them that, you know, that daddy was killed or whatever, that he's gone to heaven. And they don't understand, young children don't understand the permanence of death, because they say, well, he come back from there. Will he come back, Mama? You know, they don't understand heaven is permanent. You know, it's permanent. He's going to be there. He's not coming back. So it shows from the angle of the children how they don't really understand why daddy isn't coming back. There's also the story of the young man, and I read some of these in the paper, and every time I'd see a flag-draped coffin, I'd see the mother, sometimes the children, a little child crying at his daddy's coffin. These things affected me because I was very, very affected by the children, mostly. And the one story where the husband is killed, and the wife joins and takes up his place and takes the joins the army, and the two little children are with grandma. So that's another story, how the children's life with grandma. And then the one with the plane, people were waiting for the plane, and how that happened. Then there's one where our old church in our old neighborhood, it was our church, and that affected me mostly because it was so close. But that's where I'm at with it. I'm hoping that it does well. My hope is to help the Wounded Warriors organization. I've been trying to help them a little along the way. So I'm hoping this will go in and be providing more for them.
Well, we have a question here. Let's see here. This question comes in from Charles in Baton Rouge. Says dealing with PTSD nightmares, what do you suggest or recommend? I could comment, and I don't know what you'd want to say, but you know, it's real important, Charles, to get help for this. I would, you know, suggest finding a counselor. There's no shame in going to a counselor and getting help. It takes a stronger person to go to a counselor and get help. Some of us as men are taught to not share our feelings, our struggles, but it's actually the more sane and mentally healthy individual that's going to get help and seek help rather than just keep everything inside. You know, I had, not from the war, but I was surprised when I went to a therapist for some nightmares when I was visiting back in Pittsburgh, and they, you know, investigated and found out I had PTSD from the experience of being chased by reporters in a time in my life where media was kind of hounding me and chasing me, and you know, every time I go out they'd be in their cars, and I was well known in my hometown, and they were sometimes outside the house, and but just the experience of being chased over an extended period of time, a therapist said, was the reason when I was back in certain areas for a while I would get triggered and feel vigilant like somebody was chasing me. And it really helped me to deal with that with a therapist and get over that. And you know, a person like yourself that's been on the battlefield, you know, those memories will come back. And what would you suggest,
to
someone with PTSD?
The Veterans Administration, because they're cracking down and they're going to get better treatment now than they have in the past, because there's a lot more people, a lot more flack going on about the neglect for the veterans.
Yeah.
And I would suggest he goes there, and I'm sure they would have psychiatrists, they have psychologists, whatever he would need. I believe he would find it in the nearest Veterans Administration hospital.
Yeah, they helped Dad a lot. I mean, he had good doctors, and I remember taking him over there sometimes, and they even had, you know, good exercise program and psychiatrists, and I think everything was covered for Dad, wasn't it, because of the war? I mean, he got a lot of good free top-notch help medically, didn't he?
Yes, the veterans of foreign wars are given special treatment, and his hospital bills were always no charge. And it was a real blessing. But if you are a veteran, you have that opportunity to get hospital care free, counseling, psychiatrists. It's all there. If you have an income, you may have to pay a copay on your medications. But if your income is low, you would get your medications free.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, as you mentioned, Mom, there was a bump in the road recently where these people were having to wait, you know, way too long, months and months and months, some of them, for treatment. But, you know, I hope and pray they're back on track. And, you know, these guys really, you guys really deserve the best medical care. You know, there's, you know, we can't do enough for those that have been through this. And I fully support and endorse all the programs. Going back to FDR starting the GI Bill after World War II, a lot of veterans were able to go back to college and have it all paid for through the GI Bill, which is hopefully the GI Bill still around, isn't it? Do you know? I would think so.
I don't know if it still is. I know that your dad did a lot of schooling through that he couldn't have afforded otherwise.
Yeah, he went to Duquesne, and I can't remember. Did he go to Duquesne after the war? Or was that before?
He went after the war.
So that was probably paid for with the GI Bill. I didn't even think about that till now, but my dad probably got a bachelor's at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, a really good Catholic university there, through the GI Bill. So anyways, yes, Chuck, look into the you know, the veterans programs and talk about the feelings. Don't suppress it. When we externalize psychological things and talk to someone about it. You know, my Uncle Ray loved John Wayne, who was my godfather, and he was of that generation, the strong men where you keep it inside. And he saw such brutalities, and gathering up the bodies and the body bags was his job. And he kept a lot of it inside. And I think it probably affected him in a negative way that he held so much inside, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and it wasn't known back then. There was no such thing as PTSD. They didn't know. They came back from the war, and they had to deal with this on their own. And he was very nervous and high-strung, quick temper, and he was not like this before the war. He was jovial, teased me as his younger sister, and we had a good family life. My father had a great sense of humor, and there was not the tension that came after he came back from the war, because you couldn't say the right, you know, you'd say one thing, it would trigger something, he'd have a temper. He was different. My mother said they sent the wrong one home. He was in
the
same body, but
home.
Different person.
Whole different person, yeah. I remember the last time I saw him, he was dying of cancer, and this show was a blessing to him, the radio show, because I'll tell this story even though we're running out of time here. But I went to see Uncle Ray, and he was complaining to me. He said, this nurse is really nasty. I mean, she's yelling at me and bitching at me. He said she's not very kind, and it's hard enough when I'm dealing with it. and he had cancer and everything. And she came to take care of him, and I was leaving to do the radio show, this radio show, Richard Rossi Live, and which started on the Pittsburgh WPIT FM 101 FM station. Now we're international with this Blog Talk Radio. But anyways, I rushed off to do the radio show, and I went back to visit him a couple days later there in Millville, and he said that nurse asked me who you were and where you were going, and I told him that's my nephew. He's going to do a radio show. He does a radio show. And she said, what's the name of the radio show? And Uncle Ray said, I told her, Richard Rossi Live. And she said, oh, my God, I listen to that show. I love that show. I have that show on all the time, and I never miss it. And he said to me, all of a sudden, she treats me like my poop don't stink. He treats me like my poop don't stink. He's treating me like a king. It's honey this and honey that. Oh, he goes, if I would have known telling her, you know, my nephew had this radio show would have got me this kind of treatment, and I would have told her a lot sooner. He got such a kick out of that. He was laughing, and I was glad it made him laugh because, you know, he was suffering so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a great John Wayne fan. He watched every John Wayne movie that there could be. Several times.
Yeah, in fact, he told me that he was going to the Great Roundup in the sky. That was one of the last things he told me. I'm going to the Great Roundup in the sky.
Yes, even that was a John Wayne, the Great Roundup.
Yeah, and Gene Autry had an old, there was an old cowboy song. Gene Autry sang an old cowboy song about the Great Roundup in the sky. And so, you know, even let me know he was dying, he told me in that way. And he certainly fulfilled his vows as a godfather, which in the Catholic Church at the baptism, the godfather steps in if there's ever need to. And when there was a need to in our family with Dad in the hospital, him and Aunt Anna Mae did come in and, help out at the home and take care of us. And on my birthday, he always got me cool presents like a Bobby Orr hockey stick or one year a Roberto Clemente baseball glove another year. And I, as a kid, had no idea the horrors he'd been through in the war. Well, thank you, Mom, for being on the show. They're going to cut us off, and you'll get disconnected momentarily because we're running a few seconds over. But thanks so much for being the executive producer of the show by producing me. And
very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm proud of you with this book. And so I encourage you all to get my mom's book. And it's called Soldier Songs, Honoring and Helping Military Family. Just go to Amazon and order it, Dorothy Rossi, Soldier Songs. Hey, we've gone a few seconds over. Thanks for the grace, Blog Talk Radio, and I look forward to being with you again. By the way, follow the show on the link here. You can click follow, and you'll be the first to get all the announcements on the new shows. We have some very exciting upcoming guests, and you'll be the first to know. Just click follow, and God bless all of you. Go with God, and be blessed.